Hello, my name is Sergio Zamora. I am an ambassador to New York City, and God has called me to reach the Jewish and Gentile people. I was born in Peru in 2001. I was saved when I was 10 years old. Immediately after my salvation, God called me to preach. I answered the call to preach and serve God in full-time ministry. I knew God also called me to foreign missions. With the need for ministerial preparation, God opened the doors for me to attend the Baptist College of Ministry in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin in 2019. I graduated from this school in 2024. I am sent out of Falls Baptist Church in Wisconsin. I am a missionary with the International Board of Jewish Missions. In the summer of 2022, I went to New York City for an internship, where I worked under the leadership of a veteran pastor. In this internship, I was able to see firsthand the spiritual blindness of the city, especially of the Jewish people. During this time, I knew that Jewish outreach would be an important part of my ministry. I am called to be an ambassador in New York City, reaching both the Jewish and Gentile people for Christ. New York City is home to over 8 million people who speak more than 200 languages, making it the most populous and international city in the United States. New York City has been a major destination for people of every ethnic group from all over the world. With about 1.6 million Jewish people, the New York City metro area boasts the oldest and largest Jewish community in the United States, making it the second largest urban Jewish community in the world. More than 10% of New York City's population is Jewish, making the Jewish community the most significant outside of Israel. This means that one person out of 10 is Jewish in New York City. The Jewish population living in the New York metropolitan area comprises approximately 25% of the American Jewish population in the United States. Over 1.6 million Jewish people live in New York City, which is second only to Israel as the largest Jewish population center in the world. To reach this enormous concentration of Jewish people, as well as millions of Gentiles, with the gospel, laborers must be sent into the harvest field. The gospel desperately needs to reach to both Jewish and Gentile people. This focused outreach requires biblical compassion, careful training, significant resources, and caring Bible-believing local churches. That's why church planting is at the heart of my ministry. God has called me to reach both Jews and Gentiles with the gospel and start churches. Since the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, my desire is to see both Jews and Gentiles saved and added to the church. I plan to start churches near Jewish community areas where Jewish people have the facility to assemble together with the Gentile people. Church planting is futile without intense and purposeful evangelism. Since the gospel is for both Jews and Gentiles, my heart and practice is to reach both people. Both Jews and Gentiles need salvation through the only true Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. My vision is to reach the people of New York City and plant churches that will multiply. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Messiah who is the light for the Jewish and Gentile people. Will you please pray for me and for the salvation of Jews and Gentiles and for the establishment of local churches in New York City?
And I would like you to turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, verses 30 to 44. For the sake of time, we're not going to read every single verse, but I would like to make some points out of this text. But I would like you to just go to Mark 6, and let's look at verse. Let's look at verse 35, 36, and 37. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And verse 37, he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" James Frazer, an accomplished concert pianist, a very intelligent man, studying engineering at the University of London, he left those career opportunities to be a missionary to the Lisu people in northern China. He is considered as the prayer missionary by many. He had read a pamphlet when he was at a school that touched his heart deeply. And this is what the pamphlet said. "A command has been given, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It has not been obeyed. More than half the people in the world have never yet heard the gospel. What are we to say to this? Surely it concerns us Christians very seriously. For we are the people who are responsible. If our master returned today to find millions of people unevangelized and looked as, of course, he will look to us for an explanation, I cannot explain what explanation we ought to give. Of one thing I am certain, that most of the excuses we are accustomed to make with such good conscience now, we should be wholly ashamed of them." The title of the message is, "Are you ready to feed the multitudes?" Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and for the privilege that we have to meet together as a church, as a body. Thank you, Lord, for the privileges that we have received in Christ Jesus, salvation, our sanctification, and now the opportunity to see salvation in people's lives. Lord, we ask that you will bless this time when you give me the words to say, and you give us a willing heart, Lord, to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. A missionary had called Mark 6 a parable of the Great Commission, a parable that Jesus used as a teachable moment for the disciples to realize the reality that there are multitudes today that have not been fed with the bread of life. And he also helped the disciples to realize their responsibility to feed the multitudes. I have 3 points, and if there's anything that I would like us to remember are those 3 points. First of all, Jesus Christ was responsible for the multitudes. Second point, the disciples share responsibility with Jesus, and then we are responsible for the multitudes today. But first of all, Jesus Christ was responsible for the multitudes. Christ sent the disciples into the harvest field. You see that Jesus had a group of disciples with him, and he intended for the disciples to learn from him. Look at verse 31. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure, so much as to eat." The narrative of this story tells us that Jesus and his disciples were busy. And a day with Jesus was a busy day. Jesus Christ asked the disciples to go to a desert place to rest a while. The disciples did not even have time to rest because of their busy ministry with Jesus. And then in verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. The only place where the disciples could find rest was in a desert place, away from people. People were looking for Jesus everywhere he was. If they heard about Jesus coming to this village, that's where people were, was going to be. And more than just a handful of people, it was crowds of people, multitudes. The only place where they could find rest was in the desert. And the disciples went by ship to this desert place in order to find time to rest and get energies to get back to work. But as you can see, the multitudes heard that Jesus was departing from this place and moving into a different location. And the multitudes were looking for him. In verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went then and came together unto him. The fame of Jesus was known in Israel. Luke tells us that Jesus and his disciples were heading to a desert place in Bethsaida in Luke 9:10. And when the people heard and saw that Jesus was going to this desert place, they began to spread the word. Hey, Jesus is going to that place. We ought to go and we ought to meet him. And it appears that the news of Jesus going to this desert place had spread out from city to city in such a way that what was just a group of people became a crowd of great multitudes. And by the time that Jesus and his disciples, even before they set foot on the shores, they were able to see shores full of people, of multitudes. There was a great need in those days. And you can see the response of Jesus when he saw the multitudes in verse 34. He went and saw their condition. Look at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. They were as sheep, not having a shepherd. When Christ saw them, he was filled with compassion because they were as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus did not see the multitude as animals. However, he saw them as lost people without guidance. Yeah. My eyes affect my heart moment took place right here. When Jesus saw the people, he had compassion for them. When I went to New York City, I got to see a lot of people walking on the streets. I got to give many tracts to people. And once I went to a Russian neighborhood with other brothers there, and we were able to, at least they were able to share the gospel, but I was not. I couldn't speak Russian. I was able just to say a word of a greeting, and that was all that I could do. And I wish I could speak. I knew Russian, but I didn't. And it was amazing because every time that we were there, 4 or 5 hours a day, it was always different people coming and going, different people coming and going. And just to see that, probably, I don't know, about 1,000 people walked in front of us. Just to see that number of people really touched my heart because I realized how many of those people do actually know Christ? Most of them probably don't. And most of them will probably go to hell because of that. And my eyes affect my heart. That's something that I can relate because that's what I experienced when I went to New York City. In just a moment, I'm going to show you a video so we can have that ready. In just a moment, I will show it to you. But what is our response when we see people without Christ? Are we compassionate about them? In New York City, it was hard not to be compassionate about the people. What about the people here, the people that you know?
Yes.
The people that walk before you every day, the people that work with you, the people that study with you. What about all those people? Are we filled with compassion? Jesus did not just have compassion on them, but he also did something about that. in verse 34, he taught them, and he began to teach them many things. Because Jesus saw lost people, he immediately began to teach them the word of God. Even before Jesus met their physical needs, he met their spiritual needs. Before he fed the people with normal bread, he gave them the bread of life. Jesus cared for the spiritual condition of lost people every time and everywhere. And he took his disciples with him into the harvest field where the multitudes were waiting. And you see that the disciples were not just spectators, but they were supposed to be active participators. They were supposed to be active players of God's works on earth. The second point, the disciples share responsibility with Jesus Christ. We saw that Jesus indeed took responsibility for the multitudes. But the disciples also share his responsibility. The disciples, though, avoided. They tried to avoid their responsibility. Let's look in verse 35. They thought in themselves. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now that time is far past." At this time, the evening was approaching. The disciples were already getting tired. It was already a busy day for them. They were worn out. They barely had any energies. But then we see right here that people were coming again to them. There was not even a time where they could lay down and rest for a moment. But the Bible clearly says that the day was now far spent, and the disciples began to wonder, when is Jesus going to stop teaching? Someone has to let him know that it's getting late, that people need to go. Just imagine if I was preaching for 1-2 hours, the pastor would already start telling me something or giving me signs that it's time to be done. But the disciples also realized that it was getting late, and the multitudes were getting hungry and tired as well. But I doubt that they were thinking on the multitudes. They were thinking in themselves. They were normal human beings like you and me. The disciples were waiting for Jesus to finish and dismiss the people. And one can understand that. They were busy, they were weary, they were hungry. Hudson Taylor said, "Would that God would make hell so real to us that we cannot rest. Heaven so real that we must have men there. Christ so real that our supreme motive and aim shall be to make the man of sorrows the man of joy by the conversion to him of many." Amen. At that point, the disciples were not thinking about the eternal destiny of the multitudes. They were there because they were looking for Jesus to meet their spiritual needs. The disciples, though, their eyes were elsewhere. They were not thinking about the eternal destiny of those people. In verse 36, we see that they care for themselves, speaking about the disciples. "Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." The disciples asked Jesus to dismiss the multitude so that they would buy food for themselves. And it's clear that the disciples were not thinking on the people, since they first asked Jesus to do two things: send them away and go something to eat, preferably bread. The disciples were not thinking on meeting that spiritual need of the people, the multitude. And it was not really a right solution to send them away to buy food for themselves. That was not really a solution at all. That was avoiding the responsibility they had, the opportunity to meet their needs. Oswald Smith, a Canadian pastor, author, and missions advocate, preached more than 12,000 sermons and wrote 35 books. And he said this: we talk of the second coming, half the world has never heard of the first. You think about the multitudes, millions in the world, millions. Christ commissioned the disciples to feed the multitudes. In verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And this is really the climax of the whole entire passage. You give them to eat. Send them away, Lord, so that they may buy food for themselves. But what does Jesus say to them? You give them to eat. The command is also found explicitly stated in Matthew 14, 16, Luke 9, 13, and it is implied in John 9, 5. And Jesus surprised the disciples by asking them to provide food for a multitude. Let's remember that this multitude was about 5,000 men. And if each man had a wife, that could be 10,000. And if each couple had a child, that could easily have been at least 14, 15, 16,000 people. Now you see that disciples are facing an impossibility. How are they going to feed all those people, the multitude of more than 14,000 or so? How are they going to do that? You see that Christ did not give them an option. He commanded them, give ye them to eat. The multitude of thousands is the reason why Jesus was moved with compassion. A multitude of people is what we are dealing here with. And Jesus was presenting the disciples the task of reaching the multitudes. The American Museum of Natural History published a video of the human population through time. According to their estimations, by the year 1 AD, the world population reached approximately 170 million people. And if the video is ready, brother, you may play it. And as you see the video, I will try to explain some of the things that you see there. As you can see, the world starts with 170 million people. And each dot represents 1 million people. By then you see empires such as the Roman, the Han Dynasty. And as you can see, most of the world population is on that part of the world, in Asia, in Europe. And you see on the other side, in America or South America, there are not many people there yet living. So just see that progression, how the world is increasing in numbers. As you can see, it's not going too fast yet. We're getting about the year 500. Then that's when the Mayan civilization starts arising. And again, if you are carefully looking, most of the world population are located in Southeast Asia, the country of India, China, and that's where the population of the world is concentrated the most. And slowly, America, Mexico there, and South America is getting bigger, but not as big as on the other side of the world. Slowly, you can see that the human population is growing. Now we're getting to the year of 1,000. Now, by this time, the human population is almost close to 400 million people. There is a slow increase because of the bubonic plague in Europe. But that doesn't change too much. As you see, the number starts going faster and faster. We're almost getting to the year 1500 there. Again, as you can see, the world population is boasting on that area of India, China, even in Europe as well. We're about to get to the year 1700. And you can see the number is increasing even more. Even more. But this time, we're over 1 billion people. We're about getting to the 1915. And as you can see, it's non-stopping. And this video was made in 2023. I saw it in 2021, and by that time, there was about 6.8 billion people. Now, from 2021 to 2024, I think there has been a lot of increase in just a short time of about 3 years. There has been an increase of 1+ billion people in the world. Now, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, you remember about the first year, 1 AD, there was about 170 million people. That's what Jesus was talking about. The Great Commission, that was what Jesus had in mind. That was the multitudes. Now, you think about today, what are we responsible for? 8 billion people. Now, what the Great Commission is to reach all those people with the gospel. That's what we are responsible for. And that's what I can see here. The disciples are confronted to reach a multitude. Jesus Christ was sent by his Father to fulfill his mission. And now we are sent by Christ to fulfill his mission, the Great Commission. And what I want us to know is that we are responsible for the multitudes. Jesus Christ took responsibility, but Jesus Christ is not here anymore. Who is going to reach all those people, if not the church, if not you and me? Right. I just want us to see that we cannot avoid our responsibility. William Carey, the father of modern mission, called it an obligation. It is an obligation. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And Jesus in reply, he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now you tell me, what is 5 and 2 fishes for a multitude? How can you feed a family with just 5 bread and 2 fishes? It's not enough. The fact that they did not have enough food was not an excuse, though, to let the people go hungry. The command was given, give ye then to eat. As disciples, they faced the reality of a multitude in front of them. With this reality, they might also have come with excuses. Excuses that prevent them from fulfilling their mission. Give ye then to eat. And I would like to ask the question, give ye then to eat, what is your excuse? Isabel Kuhn said, I believe that in each generation, God has called enough men and women to evangelize all the yet unreached tribes of the earth. No, it is not God who does not call, it is men who will not respond. What is our excuse? Today I was with a youth and they were very active, they were responding, and I asked them the question, what do you think the reasons are for people to not fulfill the Great Commission, for not to do the Great Commission? And they were fantastic. They said, fear of men, lack of boldness, your comfort zone, You don't want to leave it. You're fine with what you have. Now, when we think about the multitudes, what about then? We have the truth. We have all that we need. Why are we still here? The disciples did exactly what Jesus asked them to do. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. The disciples finally obeyed Jesus' command. Make them sit. No more interruptions, no more questions, no more ideas. Great ideas, but simple obedience. That's why he asked them. Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India for 50 years, said, "All alone, let us remember we are not asked to understand, but simply to obey." That is what Jesus is asking of us, obedience. Whatever the Lord asks us, ask of us, we must do. Wherever he asks us to go, we must go. Whatever he asks us to say, we must say. Christ was about to do a miracle, and the disciples had to get involved in that. And when the disciples realized their inability, but yet obeyed the Lord's command anyway, they were used by God. Jesus enabled the disciples to feed the multitudes. In verse 41, and we're almost done here. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Jesus did what the disciples could have never done themselves. But you see that the disciples became God's instruments. Call it God's hands to feed the multitudes. To the eyes of the people and to the eyes of God, it was the disciples who actually fed the multitudes. To meet another miracle, to me, another miracle took place right here. The miracle of 5,000 or 15,000 plus people was done by Jesus through his disciples. But you see, Jesus was willing to use his disciples, but he could not do it until the disciples took responsibility. They took personal responsibility for reaching the multitudes. One of the most prominent missionaries in China in 1800s was a Scottish amputee, George Stott, who had lost one of his legs as a teenager. Most mission societies of the era would not consider an amputee for service on the mission fail, but Hudson Taylor was impressed by this man. When Taylor asked George why he, with only one leg, should consider going to China, Stott dryly answered, "I do not see those with 2 legs going, so I must go." We're talking about excuses again. Let's notice that the disciples did not have the means to feed the multitudes. What did they have? Only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, which actually came from someone in the multitude, a boy. And I want us to see that the solution was not in the disciples, but was in the multitude. The disciples did not bring that solution, but the solution was already in the multitude. And that is what we need to accomplish the Great Commission. It's not what a missionary can do, but actually what they, the lost people, can do. A missionary in China realized, as a church planted, he saw the need of reaching 20 million people. And he thought that perhaps by planting 3 churches and maybe reaching 200 people in 3 years could have been the solution, but no. What is 3 churches and 200 people for a city of 20 million people? Then he began to train men and women. And it was through those people that he trained in 3 years they reach over 20,000 people. Again, we're not the solution. Missionaries think that they are the solution. They go to the mission field and think that, and don't get me wrong, God is using and he can use one single missionary. But again, we're not the solution. It's not in our hands. God has provided what we need in the multitude. Let me tell you that this stirs my heart because it brings relief. I don't have to think that I am the solution. As a simple, obedient believer, I just need to go preach the gospel, make disciples, train those people to reach their people and do the same. Let me encourage you. That is the plan of, that's God's plan, the Great Commission. The Great Commission will be accomplished by means of the multitudes. And multiplication is the key, as you saw. With the multitude, the Great Commission will be accomplished. Let me invite you to the glory of missions. Young person, if you believe that the Lord is calling you to the missions field to be part of this great work that God is doing in the world, let me invite you to be broken for the multitudes of the world. It was not until the disciples saw their inability and were willing to obey that God used them mightily. So let me encourage you, and even for everyone else here, the Lord has a plan. We are God's plan, and he wants to do great and mighty works, but are we going to believe him? I think the problem with many Christians is that we don't believe it. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. We have a great God. He has the bread of life. He has what we need. But are we going to be obedient Christians, obedient believers today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and the opportunity that we have to be part of the Great Commission and see people saved, disciples made, churches planted. We ask, Lord, that out of this congregation, laborers will be sent out into the missions field. We pray, Lord, that you would continue working in the hearts of this congregation, Lord. Would it be a change in our lives to see the multitudes now with your compassion and go, Lord, and obey you in this great work that you want to do through us? It's not a work that we can do, but you only can do it through us. We pray, oh Lord, that you will continue working during this time. As the invitation goes, Pastor.